and he started out in the old East Leverett School, which is still there, owned by Stuart Olson. And I went fourth and fifth grade over there. And then when they built this new school, we all moved over here in 51. And I went here sixth, seventh, and eighth grade before going to Amherst.
Great. What do you think is the most significant difference between when you went to school and now?
Most significant? Well, I think when I went to grammar school in Leverett, it was, compared to what it is, it was a good school. You kids are more involved with technology than we were. Your curriculum is different. I think the atmosphere is different. Almost going to Leverett Elementary School back then, it was almost like a social venture rather than an educational venture.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of difference. It's a world of difference. I mean, we were confronted with a lot more than we were back then.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we were in a much more educational, relaxed atmosphere than you kids are.
Mm-hmm. What did your classroom look like?
Our classroom was pretty one big barren room with movable desk in it. We had a wood stove in it, and each morning in cold weather, we were responsible for opening the window and throwing wood in and starting the fire to heat the place. We had no running water. The water that we had for our consumption, we had to walk up to the neighbor's house and kind of a crock we filled up the water, and that was our water. And we had no food service at all, so it was just a barren classroom.
Yeah.
Very rustic. And I said it's still in existence over in East Leverett.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll take your class over there and take a look at it sometime.
Yeah.
No indoor plumbing. It's what?
It was kind of different.
Yeah, it was a little different.
How many students were in your class?
Well, I was just looking at our commencement program from when I graduated from the school here, and I had 11 in my graduating class, compared to how many you have now.
And how many? We have 17 in our class. How many kids were in your school?
Boy, that's a good question.
Just like around.
Well, over at East Leverett, I would say we probably had about 40. At the most, I think. That was just one of the schools in Leverett, though. One of the only elementary schools.
Because
there was one up north Leverett, as well as in East Leverett.
Mm-hmm. How were the grade levels organized?
Well, in the East Leverett school, there's three grades per classroom. Mm-hmm. There was third, fourth, fifth, and then sixth, seventh, eighth. And then when we came over here, there were two grades per classroom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, with one teacher. One teacher, no teaching assistants. The teacher handles everything.
How did the teacher teach so many grades at once?
Well, it was kind of a regimented day. Say if you were in grade 5 or 6, see if she would give grade 5 an assignment in math or English, whatever we were working on, and then she might be speaking to the other grade while you were doing some kind of background work that she assigned you. It was very regimented compared to what goes on now.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would flip-flop.
So she had to be doing a lot of things at once.
Was it easy for you to do your work while she was working with somebody else?
No, not all the time. And sometimes it could be, somewhat distracting to have her talking to one group while you were trying to concentrate. There were times when she handled the whole two classes as one group.
So who was your teacher then?
Pardon?
Who was your teacher then?
Well, I had Miss Briggs over here for 5th, 6th, and then in 7th and 8th over here, I had Chaffello and Brinkman. Over in East Leverett, the lady I had in one of those photographs was Dee Dee, and then the other one is Avery, Miss Avery, and then I had Sarah Briggs over here like that. And there's one more I had over in East Leverett. I can't remember her name. It's driving me crazy. I think we drove her crazy because she had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You did not have Evelyn Field at all?
No.
I was just curious.
Or Betty Woodard.
No.
Or Lois Dunbar.
Really? Oh, well, you missed all those.
Yeah. She was here teaching when I was here, but she was teaching, I think third or fourth or first or second.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you didn't get enough attention?
Depends on what I did. If I did something wrong, I got plenty of attention. No, I think looking back now, you know, that's probably one of the drawbacks of that, the education at that time. I think there was very little that was done at the time. And, you know, the fact that you only had one teacher working in a group, I think there's very little done that might have advanced my creativity or my imagination in that. Teachers just didn't have time. Deal with everybody's specific interest in that.
So you've listed some of the names of the teachers, but can you list them again so she can get them?
Well,
some of your teachers.
Each Leverett, I had Mrs. Avery and Mrs. Deedy, D-E-A-D-Y, and one other I can't remember. I don't think she's here for a whole year. And then over here in this school, I had Miss Briggs, and she lost her husband. And Mr. Brinkman, B-R-I-N-K-M-A-N, Brinkman. And Mr. Chiafella, I think it was C-I-A-F-E-L-L-I, something along those lines.
Were they the principal? Did you say they were the principal too? The
they
person
were,
who
yeah,
taught
the seventh
and
eighth grade teachers were also the principal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So a principal that had to teach two grades.
and they taught a full day. They didn't have partial teaching, but they taught a full day.
Mm-hmm.
But again, back then, administratively, things were a lot more simple than they are now.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
What were your teachers like?
As far as their demeanor or their effectiveness,
like,
or their teaching ability?
I think, like, were they really nice? Were they mean?
Yeah, generally they were nice. A couple of them could be kind of sarcastic at times, but it all depends upon, you know, how you conducted yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of like when you went to school back then, because of the size of the class and the, you know, the physical description of school, it was almost like a family venture. You know, you came into school and then, you know, there was a cordial greeting and that, and personal interchanges during the day, and like lunch was a social thing because we brought our own food, cooked it on the stove, you know, the best we could, and that. So it had that family atmosphere to it. But when the teachers got down to teaching, they were teachers from the standpoint of.
Was it cold in school in the winter?
Sometimes it was very cold, especially when you had to go out to the primitive bathroom.
Oh.
It was very cold. But again, we didn't. And if it was cold, we put our coats on and that, or we moved closer to the wood stove.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of, in the winter, it was kind of a blessing for some to be, have their desk in position that they were closer to the wood stove than others. But we adapted.
How far was the outhouse away from the school building?
About one good snowball throw. It went into the outhouse, you know, they were often snowballed when they came out.
Oh.
They went in. It's, you know, it's still over East Leverett. It's probably maybe 50 feet.
Yeah, well, that's not too close.
It wasn't connected to the school.
Yeah.
To go out and then, yeah.
Trump through the snow a little bit.
Yeah.
Was it cramped in your school class?
No, not really. No. Back then, I don't know. I haven't seen what a classroom looks like now, but back then, all the desks were movable. And so there was plenty of room to move the desk around. In fact, one of the ploys that the teachers used back then is to have a person move their desk according to whether there was a disciplinary problem. If it were, the teacher had to move their desk up front, or he or she could watch you. And those who weren't were inclined to be able to sit in the rear of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
but the desks were, you know, there was room enough in the classroom so that people could maneuver. In fact, we have one boy from North Leverett that was eventually, after getting out of school, he did do some racing. He used his desk as a race car. He elevate it with his knees and go zipping around as much as the teacher. But he sat up front a lot.
What time did school start?
You know, I was thinking about that this morning when the school bus went by. I think we started around 8 o'clock or so. I think we went to almost 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
What was recess like?
Pardon?
What was recess like?
It was very informal. Now, over in East Leverett, I think we had about a 15-minute recess in the morning and a 15-minute recess in the afternoon. And sometimes I had to stay on the students that teachers may have standing, you know, keep us out as long as they could, so we wouldn't be bothering. But over in East Leverett, you know where the school is over there? If you ever get over there, look, it's still there, but there's a stone wall, and we had about a 15-20-minute recess. We'd all pile out of the school and go over that stone wall and go across the road and go down into a field, which is no longer a field. It's all grown timber now. And that was our baseball field. Mm. We'd go down there for 15, 20 minutes and play baseball and then, you know, hustle back up. And, or if it was not, the weather was such that we couldn't go down there, we'd be in the small schoolyard and, you know, we'd do different things. We'd throw a football around or play marbles or had to take one another, or, you know, try to get the teachers unnerved and that, but it was very informal. Then when we got over here with the gymnasium and that, because back then we didn't have a gymnasium, we got over here, we played kickball a lot inside and dodgeball, which, you know, now they say you shouldn't be doing it, and outside we play a, you know, a variety of things out here, but it was very informal, so instructive.
How long was recess?
About 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It seemed like a long time back then.
What kind of games did you play?
Well, like I said, we played dodgeball, we played baseball, softball some. Soccer was not really a you know, sport of interest back then. So.
Did you play anything like tag?
Oh, yeah, we played tag. very unstructured back then. And of course, when we came over here, we played basketball too.
Did the teacher come out with you at recess?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, well, they had one supervising teacher that came out for recess and handled everybody on the playground.
Because we've heard tales of North Leverett where nobody came out with you, and sometimes you went into the woods and you forgot to come back. And
I think that probably was the case over in East Leverett when we used to all go down to the ball field. At least the boys would go down to the ball field. I don't think, at that time, I don't know if there was a teacher that could follow us that fast.
Yeah.
Down there and back in 15 minutes. So they probably stayed up near school and looked down as best they could.
Yeah.
But out in front of the old East Leverett school, there was usually a teacher. You know, in attendance. But over here, there's always a teacher out on the field with us,
mm-hmm.
trying to maintain order.
Here in the consolidated school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you eat for lunch?
When we were in East Leverett, we ate what we brought. And I said sometimes in the colder weather, we'd bring in potatoes and bake them on the wood stove. We'd bring in hot dogs. Put them ourselves on the wood stove. They'd bring in hamburgers, those were too difficult to cook. Or bring in soup and set it on the wood stove and heat it up, or we'd have probably peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. But it was all, again, what we brought from home. And some of it in East Leverett, a good number of the kids, in fact, we live not too far from the school, so I think on occasion we even went home for lunch. But it was, again, we didn't have any type of school food service.
So.
Did
you have a
snack? Oh, yeah.
What were your classes like?
You know, didn't run the whole variety of people. We had kids that were more studious than others, and kids who wondered why they were in school. We had kids who were well behaved. We had kids who weren't well behaved. But again, you know, thinking back, and I still have very fond memories of many of my classmates, and I still try to keep in touch with them. And generally, it was, you know, a nice group of young people. We had our problems. One thing I was thinking about that I didn't realize the last time I was here, that, you know, one of the things you read about now is bullying in school. We had that back then, but we didn't. It wasn't labeled as someone bullying someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But we had it back then, and I can recall now in retrospect, and I wasn't one that bullied them. I was brought up with respect for other people, but we had some people in our school, even when we came over here to the consolidated, other kids gave them a hard time. And it's shameful that happened, but it didn't, but it wasn't viewed the same back then. And back then, if you bullied me, for a while I'd tolerate it, and it would stop because I'd probably give you a smack right in the head. That would stop it in that case. But unfortunately, it happened back then. But overall, the classes were pretty tightly knit. Now, when we came from East Leverett over here, we met the North Leverett kids for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And we always considered them the Hicks from the Sticks. So when we came from East Leverett here and met the North Leverett kid for the first time, there was an adjustment period until we learned to respect one another. Then when we all went to Amherst for junior high school when we were in ninth grade, we were considered the Hicks from the Sticks by the kids in Amherst. So.
Were you ever bullied?
Pardon?
Were you ever bullied?
Not that I can recall. By my brothers, yeah. Not school, I can't recall being bullied.
What were your favorite classes?
In elementary school? Oh, boy. You know, if you look at our curriculum, which is entirely different from what you had, probably back then, it was probably math. I got an A in music, but you know, if I sang for you, you won't understand how I got it. But music was a favorite of a lot of students, because back then we had a music instructor come in. I think she came in once a week and worked with us, you know, as far as singing and that. We didn't have anybody playing an instrument, but she came in and we had a session with her, and we all enjoyed that. So that was popular with a lot of students, including myself.
Hmm. What kind of songs did you sing? Do you remember?
Pardon?
Do you remember any of the songs that you sang?
Oh yeah, I remember some of them. I was trying to remember the words. But we sang, like, I think Friday Afternoon was where we had to sing along. You know, we had an old red songbook. Edie may have seen it before, but we sang songs like Red River Valley, Down by the Old Mill Stream, In the Evening by the Moonlight, She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain. What were some of the others you probably don't?
I think I have a music book at the museum that might have been used.
Well, probably this one I recall was a little red one.
Yes.
So I think we had a music session every Friday afternoon, but Clara Cook was the music instructor that came around. From Orange, and she worked with the whole Irving School Union, going to various schools. And she gave us, you know, detailed help in singing. And then when we came over here to Consolidated School, she came in and helped us put on the musical presentations that we put on over here. So.
Was there anybody playing an instrument over in East Leverett that could help you stay on tune?
No, not that I can recall. I think the first person to play an instrument that I can recall was Bobby Chafee, who took up the accordion. Dave took up the trumpet when he was in high school. But Bobby Chafee, I think, took up the accordion while we were still in elementary school. But I don't recall anybody else. Our musical productions over here were all singing.
Hmm.
function. Of course, Carlisle was a great singer.
Hmm.
What order did you have your classes in?
Order?
Mm-hmm.
As far as what? You mean
like
subject?
Schedule.
As far as subjects, that was up to the teacher's discretion. And I don't recall how often, you know, if there was any specific order, but I don't know if we had English before we had math, or math before we had geography, or what. I expect we had a schedule, but I'm probably remembering my own name in the morning.
What classes or subjects did you have?
Well, I got my report card over there. It lists all the subjects, but we had like English. We had what they called language back then. We had penmanship. I don't know if you kids have penmanship now.
No. Well, we have writing. We learned cursive in third grade.
But you have instruction in how to write? You know, how to... Well, you see, that's what we had.
Well, we did in, like, younger grades.
Yeah, in your younger days.
We would have a word wall where it's, like, a big bulletin board of words that people could spell.
Yeah. Well, we see, we had a writing instructor that came around also and taught us. I think one was a Palmer method of writing, mm-hmm. and the other one was... not the Reinhardt, but there was another method of writing. And this person came around and you know, we had to write, and they would evaluate how we wrote our letter to them. And so we got graded in penmanship, how well we could write. And it was interesting back then, because now I don't think it's a factor, but if we had a left-hander in the class, which we did have, there were no left-handed desks. So a left-hander had to sit at a desk. You know, you know what the old school desks look like?
Yeah, the chairs were connected to the
desk. Sit down and there's a little desk. Well, a left-hander didn't have that. He had to reach over here to write. So what happened a lot of times, the left-handers learned to write, see how my hand is now? Mm-hmm. They learned to write with their hand this way. Mm-hmm. Or you and I, you write handed?
Yep.
So our hand would be this way. They would write this way backwards,
mm-hmm.
because there were no left-handed tablets for them, and that was a big problem for left-handers as far as penmanship. And in some cases, the teachers tried to convert left-handed people to right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, make them write right-handed, write right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now you don't have that problem.
No.
Strategy?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
counting on your fingers.
Boy. There was a lot of memorization back then.
Hmm.
Probably more memorization than anything. I mean, in spelling, which we had, you know, instruction in spelling. We used to have spelling bees where you were asked to stand up and spell a word. Math, the teacher might ask you to stand up and recite the time of the tables, you know, and that. So there, I think it was primarily memorization more than anything else. It said there wasn't a lot of room for your, you know, personal imagination in that back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was all structured. So I'd say probably memorization was the main thing.
Hmm.
What did math books look like?
I don't know what they look like. Probably very different from what you have. So,
yeah,
they
really thick.
You put me on the spot. I don't know if many of the subjects we had. I think we had more workbooks than we did,
mm-hmm.
you know, published text and that. But I don't recall having books to take home. In fact, I don't know if you're going to get to it or not, but one thing that we didn't have, that you kids have, and sometimes I wonder about it, but we really didn't have homework. You know, if we did, I didn't do it. No, but we really didn't have a regimen of having to take stuff home to do work at home. You have now.
You have a lot of homework.
You have a lot, yeah.
There is a teacher in the school now, and she's against homework, so all through second grade, her second grade class, she didn't give them homework.
Oh, I'd like to hear it. Sometimes I wonder whether, you know, there's pluses and minuses to what's going on now. I said, you live in a different world than we live in now, with technology and expectations and all that, but sometimes I wonder whether the young people today have time enough to be kids, you know, enjoy your childhood and that. So, but there, you know, there's got to be a compromise somewhere. But I recall, I don't never remember trudging up the hill to my house with a load of homework to do. Maybe the teacher thought I was smart enough, so I did have to do it. I don't know. But I know you kids do it. I know my nephews and nieces that I used to bring home a heavy load of homework. Elementary school.
Did you walk to school?
Yeah, I just lived just up the hill. Are you familiar with East Lever?
Mm-hmm.
You know where the Plimptons live?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that was our homestead.
Oh.
So they just walked down the hill. Sometimes in winter we'd slide down the hill.
Yeah,
slide down the hill.
You could slide down on
both. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of kids in East Lever were close enough so they could walk to school. And for those who were outside the area, we had what we called at that time, the old cracker box. It was a very small school bus. It looked like a regular sized school bus of today, but cut in half. And we called it the cracker box. It was kind of rattled than that. And that picked up the kids and brought them over to East Lever. And kids from, I don't know what they did up North Lever.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we started coming over here, we had the regular size school bus.
Mm-hmm.
So, but interesting enough, the man that drove the school bus back when I was going to elementary school was also driving the school bus up until Paul Woodard not too long ago.
Oh, 4 or 5 years maybe?
Yeah, he drove all these years.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What did you learn?
What that 1 and 1 is 3? That was very basic. I think one of the drawbacks, you know, especially when I left the Leverett school system to go down to Amherst in 9th grade. You go down now in 7th grade, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I went down there, I think one of the drawbacks was we probably didn't get the math background in our education here that we needed when we went down to the junior high school and high school. Because I did very well in math up here. When I got down there, in fact, I think I got a D in one math course. And my father was an engineer, and he didn't appreciate that. But I think that probably the math background we got was not as sophisticated that we were going to need later on.
Hmm.
But math was just basic. Adding, subtract, division.
Did you have also multiplying?
Did I have what?
Multiplying?
Sure.
Multiplication?
Oh, yeah. I have a hearing that's impairment, that's why.
Oh.
Especially for young sophomores.
What did you write on?
Write on?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if you did that right. You mean like writing essays or things like that?
Did you write on paper?
Oh, yeah. We didn't have slate back then that we were, the school provided all the provisions we needed, the paper, the pencils, and everything. And in fact, it was kind of interesting because over in East Leverett, in each classroom, there was a closet, and that's where we kept our supplies. We kept the papers, we kept the pencils and all that. It was also the closet was also used for either one of two things, for discipline or for reward. And if the student got unruly enough so that he or she was disrupted, mostly he, because he didn't but if a student got unruly, the teacher might have been in the office away from everybody else. And there was one teacher before I got here who put the son of one of the other teachers, Mrs. Dunbar, in the closet. And when home and forgot him. Went home and forgot him. And his mother, Mrs. Dunbar, who taught fourth grade over here, called this other teacher and said, "Where's my son?" And she said, "Oh my God, he's still in the closet." But the other side of the picture was, if you were, you know, if you were a student that the teacher thought you were doing what you should be doing, she would send you into the closet to clean it up. It was a reward. Oh yeah, you could go in the, I spent many moments in that closet maybe taking a nap. I had done something well. On the other hand, I might be in there because I did do something. So that was one of the ploys the teachers had available back then. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did your teachers write on?
Well, they had the blackboard and that, and that's the other thing. I don't know, do they still have blackboard? Do you still use blackboard?
Whiteboards,
right?
You might
call them green boards now, but they're black with chalk.
Yeah, we have some chalkboards in our art room.
But not your regular classroom?
Most classrooms actually have something called a Promethean board, which is like a big We actually have a whiteboard.
Yeah.
We have a whiteboard with a projector.
Yeah, the Promethean board. No, we had a teacher use chalkboards, and that was the other thing.
We have a couple of chalkboards left in some room,
But we, with the chalkboards and that, they had to be erased. And that was another reward if you were, one of the teacher's pets and that, you were asked to erase the chalkboard or take the erasers out, we'd clap them. That was just saying, hey, you've done a good job. So, once in a while, the teacher might scratch her fingernails on the chalkboard. We didn't appreciate that. I think they did it on purpose. Wake us up or something. Yeah.
How did you get graded? Like 1 to 100, like A, B, C?
Well, it's A, B, C. Yeah. And then I think they had some sub-number too, like A1, A2, A3, something like that. It was very rustic compared to what they might do now. And then on the report cards, I don't know if you like, brought a couple of my report cards. Then the teacher would write a little summary of your performance. It wasn't very sophisticated compared to what you kids go through now.
How were you complimented for good work?
Well, again, by like the things I said, the teacher may verbally tell you you're doing good work, and it may be reflected, and being sent to the paper closet, or just teacher might have you doing little favors. When we came to a consolidated school over here, one of the ways that the teacher told you you're doing a good work was, back then, I don't know what day it was, but once a week we would buy savings stamps. Like bonds, war bonds and that. But you'd buy savings stamps, I think they were a quarter, and one student was assigned to go from here up to the, where the post office is in the entire town.
Yep.
So that was a general store and post office back then. So the teacher would, or a teacher would ask the student from here to walk to the post office for all the rest of the students. And that was a reward. And they would never think of doing that now. But that was a reward. It took a long time for some kids to walk up the door and back. I made the trip quite often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happened if you got an answer wrong?
Well, you might get hit on the knuckles. No. I'm serious. Back then, the teacher could, one teacher or two which were noted for that, but just affectionately with a ruler.
Yeah.
Or a tap on the head. That's why I haven't got any hair up here, because I got tapped on the head. But, generally the teacher, told you directly that you had done something wrong. When we came over here, the teacher might send you to see the principal if you did something wrong. But your parents I don't think that on occasion, you know, the parents were brought into a situation, but usually it was a very direct comment by the teacher that, you know, you made a mistake or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I did go on mention something like that.
What happened if you failed a test?
Failed a test? I never did. I don't know. I think that, you know, it was just probably the teacher assigned you extra work, but you know, I don't think we really had tests back then like we did. The tests were more like spelling bees and that, where you get up on your feet, and if you fail, you know, then you do it, and you had to work more on your memorization than that. But I don't recall taking long tests, written tests.
Could you be held back a grade?
Yeah, I guess you could. I don't, going to school here, I don't recall anyone being held back. Oh, I don't know, because that one guy used to run around the room with his desk as a race car. I think was older than the rest of us, but I don't think he was held back here. I think he might have been held back up in North Leverett. I'm not sure. And we did have a guy go to East Leverett School that was decisively older than the rest of us, George Clark. But I don't know if he ever did go from one grade to the other. I think he was in the same grade for his whole stint over there. But I suppose there are people that were held back, and I don't recall them offhand. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like your school prepared you for life beyond Leverett?
In many ways, yes. In many ways, no. Mm-hmm. From the standpoint of social skills, community living, personal relations, respect for others, I think that was a great experience. But from the standpoint of educational standpoint, retrospect now, I'm not sure it prepared me for it, like going down to Amherst and beyond, especially for a study habits and that. But I have no, I look back on my, you know, educational experience in Leverett with a great deal of respect and honor, because it was a wonderful time, you know, to be involved. But in retrospect, from an educational standpoint, I wish I had come out with a little more on the ball. And I can't blame the system, might be me too.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish I'd come out with a little more on the ball as far as what I needed to know better or not. But I have no regrets. But
what were the basic rules?
As far as behavior?
Mm-hmm.
Behavior, so.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, basic rules, you know, don't do anything to distract from what the teacher is trying to do. Don't show disrespect for your students, for your fellow students, although there was a lot of that, but that was handled in that.
Were there things like no running in the halls,
Yeah. We couldn't run in the halls. We had to, like I was looking down the hall when I came in today, and the stairway there, and when we went downstairs, we were in line. When we came upstairs, when we were in line, when we went from our classroom to lunch, we were in a line and that. And the only time we weren't in line is when we were in the gymnasium or we were out on a playground.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it was a very orderly thing.
What punishments
did
students get besides, like?
Punishment?
Yeah.
Well, like I mentioned, you know, being confined to the paper closet, but once in a while, one teacher in particular would rap you, you know, very gently. Never broke a ruler, but she rapped you.
Goodness.
And then we had one principal over here, allegedly was a former wrestler, and he's a big man named Brinkman. And we had a kid in class who still lives in Leverett and has done very well for himself in the business world. Could be disruptive, not destructively so, but you know, just you know, destroy the what was going on in the classroom with his conduct and that sort of thing. Mr. Brinkman used to pick him up, and had a waste paper basket that was taller than that over there, and pick him up and set him in the waste basket. And he had to stand there until he was going to behave. And I could still see him, you know, in a waste paper basket with his hands gripping the edge, looking over the edge. He's done very well for himself, though. He probably has more money than I do. So, but things, you know, there were things like that. But they might isolate you. But again, it was different. The type of disciplinary problems we had back then were, you know, maybe talking when you shouldn't be talking, poking someone when you shouldn't be poking them, and that.
Did you ever write notes to somebody else in the classroom?
Oh, yeah. We were passing notes. Especially when the teacher turned her back or his back, we were always passing notes.
How about spitballs?
Yeah, spitballs. And of course, when I was in East Leverett School, we had the inkwells. Talk about putting people's girls' hair in an inkwell.
Yeah, we've heard a little
innocent,
of that.
innocent things like that, or snowballing, or things like that. Yeah, there are always things like that going on.
What happened to late to school?
Late to school? Mm-hmm. Well, back then it was very difficult to late to school, especially when we came over here and picked up by bus. But over in East Leverett, I don't recall ever being late in school. Mm-hmm. I will tell you though, when we moved from New York in 1949, in April, I was in fourth grade over in East Leverett, and the first day I went to school, I came home mid-morning, and my mother asked me why I came home. I said, because this teacher told us all to go home because we were so unruly.
Oh.
She sent us all home.
Good thing your mother was there, right?
Yeah, well, most of the kids at back then, you didn't have two parents, weren't, both of them weren't working, so yeah.
Was your school segregated?
No. We didn't. Segregated as far as races and that, we didn't have any. When I was in school, we didn't have any anybody other than Caucasians in our school. But have you talked to Stuart Olson at all about East Leverett School?
No.
You please bring that subject up. Stuart Olson, who owns East Leverett School now, has pictures of the East Leverett School back in the 1850s and 60s, where half the students were Afro-American. Back in the 1850s, 60s, Afro-American then, but because of the Underground Railroad Network. I didn't know that. I found that quite interesting.
Yeah, I have some pictures of with black children in them.
Yeah.
Mostly in the late 1800s.
Yeah. No, we had, when I was in school at Leverett, I don't think we had any Afro-American students in the school. If there were, they weren't, you know, it wasn't an issue back then because there was a lot of mutual respect back then.
Mm-hmm. How did you get to school?
Well, when in East Leverett, I walked. And when I came over to Consolidated School here, the school bus picked us up. And back then, if you lived within a reasonable distance of the school, you walked.
Mm-hmm.
Over in East Leverett, you walked.
How did you get there in the snow?
Walked. Slid. Yeah. And back then, you're talking, how many years ago you're talking? How many years ago?
I'm not sure.
Try 49, try 67. 67 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When it snowed in town back then, the road stayed snow covered.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't put salt on them like they do now.
Oh.
So like where I lived over in East Leverett, I lived on a hill. It would be quite reasonable and safe back then to get on my sled and slide down to the bottom of the hill of the school. Because there wasn't a lot of traffic back then either. So then I'd have to pull the sled back up.
Mm-hmm.
But when we over here, of course, the school bus picked us up.
Mm-hmm.
But often, you walk to school in the snow.
And people walked longer distances, too.
Oh, yeah,
people told us in North Leverett about walking to Lake Wyola to skate.
Yeah.
Which is 2 miles or something from North Leverett Center.
Of course, back then, when we were in school, you know, if I was in fourth grade and I had to walk a mile, you didn't worry about anybody affecting you, bothering you, or, you know, picking you up, or, you know, trying to, you know, take you or anything like that. Ask your principal now if she would allow you to walk from here to the center of town to buy the stamps. And she'll say no, because there's a chance that someone might come along and pick you up. Back then, you didn't worry about that. That wasn't a threat.
Hmm.
What did you do on snow days?
Snow days? We built snowmen out the schoolyard. We had snowball fights, which we were always criticized for. But I don't... You're asking us if we had snow days? We did when, you know, I guess we did, but I don't think there is, they numbered as many as we have now. Because back then, if you had a snowstorm, you just put up with it. People weren't overly concerned about whether you were, you know, there's going to be a travel hazard or not. We just did what we had to do. Even when we started going to school in Amherst, we went to school in Amherst on many a days when there was substantial snow, but now they call off school when they anticipate snow.
Yeah, last year we had 7 snow days, but then our school year was longer.
You have to make it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you kept track of the days.
Yeah.
Yep. Did you have special classes like art and music?
We had music. I noticed on my report card we had art, but I can't remember having any formal art class.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, like, library?
I think the paper closet was the library, too. No, we didn't have a library over in East Lake. They might have had a, you know, like a bookshelf with a few books on it, like here. There wasn't a formal library. The only library we had was a library in the center of town, that little, mm-hmm. which is now her museum. but we didn't have a library in East Leverett School. I think when we came over here, there might have been an early, you know, form of a library, but I don't know how substantial it was.
Did you have gym?
And what?
Gym?
Not formal. Our gym over here was your classroom teacher would take you down there, and invariably, as I said, you'd play dodgeball or kick baseball. You know what kick baseball is? You play with a playground ball and you kick it and then you run.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
call that kickball.
Yeah, and then we
got,
I played a lot of dodgeball.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of dodgeball.
We still play dodgeball.
You do?
Mm-hmm, at recess.
Well, I thought they were kind of discouraging that.
Yeah,
they did for a while because people were throwing way too hard.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of all, like, games where there's a ball throwing around.
But now it's back. The kids just bring a ball out and everyone plays dodgeball.
Yeah.
Well, we're playing dodgeball again in gym.
Mm-hmm. And we played so much dodgeball in gym.
That was one of our favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think we also, on occasion, might have a little dancing, square dancing, but I'm not sure on that. But over in East Leverett, I mean, what we had at recess and that was just informal.
Mm-hmm.
Not instructor. We never had a physical education teacher, other than the classroom teacher.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no more questions. Was there anything you wanted to say, Dad? Was there anything mentioned?
Yeah. Did you ever make fun of a kid in the class?
Not that I can recall. I probably did, but I can't recall. I said I was one that was brought up in a family that you respected other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, I suppose I might have somewhere along the line, but I really took exception to how some students were bullied by others. I can recall, you know, a couple of people in there that were, other kids were on them all the time. And I don't look back with a great deal of favor on something like that. And it happens because kids will be kids, but it's unfortunate.
Do
you guys have any more questions you
want to
ask?
Would you like to explain what you did after you went to Amherst and graduated, and then what did you do after that?
Well, I graduated from Amherst High School in 57, and I went to Springfield College for 4 years, where I played baseball. Didn't study as well as I should have. Then I went in the Army for 2 years, and then I started off teaching up at a little small college up in Vermont called Linden State College. And then I was up there for 2 years teaching, and 1 year as assistant to the president of the college. And I went back to graduate school in Springfield, then went down south and taught at BMI, which is the West Point of the South. And then I came back to Springfield College in 69, and I retired from Springfield College in 96 as a professor and baseball coach. And then after that, I ended up after Springfield College, after I retired, I coached at Amherst College for 3 years. Mm-hmm. But I've been retired for 20 some years, even though I don't look that old. Did boy and girl fight?
The boy and girl as far as hitting and fighting.
Boy and girl fight?
Did the bullying.
Did people ever, when they were bullying, did anyone ever hit? Like, did it ever get physical?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's how bullying starts sometimes. If you bullied me, I took it for a certain period of time, and then I stopped it. And I can recall, Mr. Field has a relative, her husband's younger brother, who was sometimes the subject of bullying because he was big and they used to get on him. Well, he put a stop to that one day. People were bullying him. He just let them know he didn't want any more of it. And that stopped from that day on. But unfortunately, some of the people that were bullying, especially the girls that he called being bullied, you know, didn't take any type of action like that. So they had to, you know, put up with it, which was made it difficult for them. I'm sure they're uncomfortable.
So it wasn't the culture for girls to put up their dukes.
No. But overall, with all the, you know, negatives that we talked about, that it was a, growing up in Leverett and in the Leverett school system was a very positive experience. And I'm sure it is now, but in different ways. In different ways. You will probably look back on it with favor. And I hope you remember your classmates as well as I remember mine.
And I think it still has some of the intimacy that you speak about in the East Leverett School. And then when you came over here, people, it's small enough so that people know each other pretty well. Would you guys say that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Do you have any type of out-of-school get-togethers and that? You have dances?
No.
We have a Halloween party.
Party?
Yeah, we have lots of, we have like a little,
kind of like a dance, but it's more like a,
yeah, we had like,
school fair thing.
We've had like things that come after school.
Yeah,
like
we have
parties
like,
and we have a harvest festival, but.
Yeah, you put on musicals too, don't you?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
We've done plays.
Yeah, we used to do that, yeah.
The fifth grade every year does a play because the teacher is really into plays.
Oh. No, we had a regular diet of doing things like that, putting on shows, you know, for the community and that. But the thing is, try to, you know, you hope you leave with good memories in your memory.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that my high school class does, and that's down the road for you, again, but my high school class, we get together every 3 months for a reunion.
Wow.
Really nice, and some of the kids that went to East Leverett School with me back in, you know, 49-50, we always talked about trying to have a reunion over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Stuart Olson would allow us to use the school, although it doesn't look like a school now because he uses it as a woodworking shop, but we're talking about going over there and having kind of an outdoor picnic, you know, just try to get as many as we can back, but unfortunately a lot of them have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a class of 11, and what would we say passed away, four or five?
No, at least.
Yeah, four or five have passed away, so anyway.
Mm. Well,
this has been great, Mr. Roy.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. And you girls were very good today.
They
I
were.
Mean, your questions and...
They were. They're sharper than I am.
So we thank you very much, and we appreciate your effort to be here.
You're welcome.
And we hope that maybe as we develop what we're going to do at the library in May and June. We're going to have an exhibit. We're hoping to have some kind of a presentation to the town of these wonderful histories that we're collecting. So we'll be in touch, and if you're around and available and willing, maybe we can plan something.
Now, are you two doing all the interviewing?
Oh, there's lots of other kids.
The whole class?
No, not many people. Almost everyone.
Yeah. How large is your class?
17 kids.
17?
Mm-hmm.
At sixth grade?
Yep.
Sixth grade.
Well, some classes have like 23.
Only one step class. That's the biggest class.
They just split the class in two.
But there's only one class, sixth grade class over here. You don't have more than one class.
Well, one year the sixth grade was split in two.
Yeah.
That was a while ago. But that's because it was like the biggest class the school has ever had.
In your classroom, you have the teacher and who else?
A teacher and a helper teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, two of them.
Mm-hmm. Some classes, fifth grade has a teacher's friend come in for help with math.
Volunteers?
Mm-hmm.
Now, to tell you a difference or show you a difference between this school now and when I went to it for the first time in 51, if you came to a school in 1951, there'd be five cars in the parking lot. I think
at least 25, maybe 35.
Well, Beth Abbott, you remember Beth Abbott who taught here, she said that she counted 40 some cars in the parking lot.
Oh, really? Okay,
there were five cars in the parking lot.
And those were the teachers?
Well, Lois Dunbar, who was a teacher, picked up Sarah Briggs, who was a teacher. And then we had the principal driving. I can't remember the fourth teacher that was here then. Then we had the director of food service, a lady by the name of Barbara Ostrowski, Perchak.
She's still alive.
Yeah, I hear she's in a nursing home, is she?
I didn't know that.
I haven't seen her at her house. And then we had the janitor, Zephyr Claire. And so there's a vehicle. That we used the parking lot out here. This wasn't in existence up here. We used the parking lot out here also for a play area. You know, when it was snowing and that, we might do whatever we were doing out here in the parking lot. So that was a big difference. When I drove over this morning, I wondered where I was going to park. I had to park down on first base or something, down on the ball field.
We had like two parking lots, one's for the preschool pickup. Preschool and like kindergarten.
Oh yeah.
Because lots of preschoolers don't stay for the whole day. They have a half day. So parents can go there because there's the little door where they can get picked up. And then that one's mostly for the teachers and like pick up kids.
See, when I was in school, they had preschool or kindergarten. I didn't have it. But I did go to kindergarten. I lived in Crystal Lake, Illinois. I went to kindergarten out there and the kid hit me in the nose and never went back. Don't ask me what I did.
I know where Crystal Lake, Illinois is.
Oh, you
know? Yeah, I was born in Glen Ellen, Illinois.
Yeah, I lived in Crystal Lake in West Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal Lake was a beautiful community. And they tell me there's six high schools in there now.
It's huge. The suburbs of Chicago go all the way to the Iowa border.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Now you want to ask me what I did when I stopped going to kindergarten?
Yeah.
This is a true story. My father used to smoke White Owl cigars. I don't even know if they make them anymore. I used to take a White Owl cigar, here I am in kindergarten, and go out and sit in front of the house. There's a big old elm tree with a settee around it. I used to go out there and smoke those White Owl cigars and get deadly sick. When I was 6 years, 5, 6 years old. That's why I'm not 7 feet tall. Growth is stunted because I was smoking cigars at 5 years old. Kids still do that?
No.
Huh? That's a true story.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's really
good.
Yeah.
See, when you get down to Amherst, I think probably you'll have study hall.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I used to do all my homework, which wasn't enough time to do it.
It was entitled study hour.
Yeah. That's what it's supposed to be.
All right.
I enjoyed it.
All right.